Sarasota, Florida, WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota's community radio station. Listen live on the radio, on the internet, on your smartphone, or at your convenience through our downloadable podcast at maternallyoursradio.com. Our mission is to support our listeners in building empowered families that create empowered communities. Each week we bring you evidence-based information for your journey through the childbearing years. We do not give medical advice, and with all subjects, we suggest that you thoroughly research your options and speak with an appropriate expert with whom you have a relationship of mutual trust and respect.
The voices you'll hear in the next hour belong to the Maternally Yours Collective and our guests, and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of this radio station, the board of directors, or station management. The conversation may include descriptive language or emotionally sensitive subject matter. We respect all families and understand that it is up to each of us to make the most informed choice possible. We are Maternally Yours.
We are Maternally Yours. We are Maternally Yours. Welcome to the conversation. Your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. I'm Dana King, domestic goddess and mom of Elliot, cesarean prevention advocate and mom's group leader.
And I'm adjusting the mics, my goodness. I'm not used to that sitting over here.
I know, this is weird.
Well, I'm Ryan Stanley, progressive activist, lactation enthusiast, community radio maven, mama to June, and Arbor is in the studio tonight and decided to wake up right when we're going on the air. So if you hear, you know, crying, slurping, fussing, laughing, not laughing yet.
Okay.
Pooping. Although he did that today, so we got another week before that happens again.
Yes, or 10 days. TMI, everybody. That's the world of babies. So in addition to hearing us on WSLR each and every Tuesday, you can also hear us on Wool 91.5 FM in Bellows Falls, Vermont, KPOV 88.9 FM in Bend, Oregon, WCRS 102.1 and 98.3 FM in Columbus, Ohio, the Detour Network in East Tennessee, and Geneva Community Radio in the Finger Lakes region of New York State. So check your local listings for our time slot, and as always, you can find us online at maternallyyoursradio.com or on iTunes or now on archive.wslr.org.
Something new to find us. I think we lived there for a little while. Each show is recorded live and lived there for a while. So one more place to find us on the interwebs. So now for some birth in the news. A woman in Nebraska gave birth to a baby boy named Angel after having been brain dead for 54 days. 22-year-old Carla Perez was kept alive until 2 days after the delivery. Her newborn, weighing a mere 2 pounds and 12.6 ounces at birth, Perez is the first woman to deliver a baby while brain dead in the U.S. since 1999. The baby was delivered in early April at Methodist Health System in Omaha. It required a team of more than 100 doctors, nurses, and staff to keep Perez alive for 54 days so that they could deliver the baby via cesarean section. Quote, "Our team took a giant leap of faith," said Vice President and COO of Methodist Women's Hospital, Sue Korth. "We were attempting something that not many before us have been able to do." Perez suffered from severe headaches before collapsing in her home in Waterloo, Nebraska on February 8th. Later, it was determined that she had suffered a brain bleed. Angel was only 22 weeks and would not survive outside the womb if delivered after the incident. Doctors aimed to deliver at 32 weeks, but Perez's condition demanded Angel be delivered April 4th, 2 weeks earlier than planned. The baby is currently still in the neonatal intensive care unit, and Carla Perez, Oregon's, helped save the lives of 3 people. Crazy.
Yes. The United States has always boasted a high standard of living and has been ranked among the top in medical care in the world, but has room for improvement in the category of maternal and child health. The United States, at 61st globally in maternal health, is underperforming every other developed country in the world, according to the Save the Children's 16th Annual State of the World's Mothers 29 countries and is based on 5 indicators like maternal health, children's well-being, education, economic status, and political status. Under these categories, the United States is ranked 33rd worldwide, down 2 spots from last year. Quote, in the grand scheme of things, this isn't that bad, says Bina Valskar, a pediatrician and newborn technical advisor for Save the Children's Saving Newborn Lives program, told to CBS News. But compared to other developed countries, the United States is dead last. Dead last, what a nice showing of choice of words there. The United States did well in the categories of economic and educational status, but 42nd in children's well-being and 89th political status, namely women's representation in national government. The top 5 countries ranked this year were Norway, Finland, Iceland, Denmark, and Sweden. What a surprise. The 11th lowest ranked are all respectively in West or Central Africa, Somalia ranking the worst overall. According to the report, a child in the United States is just as likely to die before age 5 as a child in Bosnia or Siberia. In the majority of the countries surveyed, the poorest urban children are twice as likely, if not more, to die compared to the most wealthy before their 5th birthday. Optimism persists, however, as some hope that the data can persuade legislators to invest more in maternal health and health care after pregnancy, as well as committing more resources to education, economic, and the political status of women.
You think? Investing in mothers is a good investment.
The best, really.
The best investment. So new research from the Journal of National Cancer Institute indicates that women who breastfeed and later developed breast cancer are less likely to have returning cancer or to die from cancer compared to women who did not breastfeed, while previous research suggests that breastfeeding is connected to a lower risk of developing breast cancer. Initially, quote, we found in this study of over 1,600 women with breast cancer that those who previously breastfed had 30% overall decreased risk of their breast cancer recurring, commented study leader Marilyn Kwan, a research scientist at the Kaiser Permanente Division of Research in Oakland, California. We also found, she says, those who previously breastfed had a 28% reduced risk of dying from their breast cancer. The research concluded that the positive effects of breastfeeding were strongest in relation to the most commonly diagnosed breast cancers. The team studied 2 groups of women, some diagnosed in 1997 to 2000 and others from 2006 to 2013. While the results show a clear link to common cancers, there is not a strong link between other less common subtypes, and the study does not prove cause and effect. Overall, it was found that women who breastfed had a 30% reduced risk of breast cancer recurrence when length of breastfeeding was taken into account. The link was less strong for those who breastfed for less than 6 months, so incentive to breastfeed as long as possible. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months, followed by continued breastfeeding as other foods are introduced for up to 1 year or more. The World Health Organization recommends until 2 years or more. Breastfeeding is beneficial for preventing diabetes, infection, and excessive weight gain. Breastfeeding may lower the risk of ovarian cancers and exposure to hormones that can help cancerous cells grow. Quote, overall, our study confirms that breastfeeding is not only good for the baby, but has potential health benefits for the mom, Kwan said.
You don't say. So if you have some birth and news to share, send it to us by email at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com, or you can post it to facebook.com/maternallyyours. And for the links to all of our birth and news stories, please visit tonight's epilogue on our website at maternallyyoursradio.com. He's hanging in like a champ over there.
Yes, he is.
So Ryan, what have you been doing these last 3 months?
Where have you been?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Just having a baby, and honestly, I'm still, this guy sleeps a lot and is very kind and gentle to me, but, you know, I'm still silly and stay up until 1 in the morning like a dum-dum, and then have to get up very early because my 5-year-old wants to wake up at the crack of dawn. So, you know, I'm kind of easing my way back into the real world, and we're just keeping it casual tonight with a grab bag of stories, a goodie bag. A goodie bag, a pre-Mother's Day goodie bag for all of you listening out there.
A bag of tricks, not just right. Or maybe. So let's reach into that magic bag, grab bag, and pull something to talk about.
Yeah, well, I guess first we should talk about our membership drive that happened 2 weeks ago. Those of you listening on other community radio stations probably missed that episode, but twice a year we here at WSLR ask our community to step up and support the station that gives us a platform. Without all this stuff in the studio here, we wouldn't be doing this. So,
well, we might be doing it, but no one would hear us.
Exactly.
Just lip service.
Yeah.
So we were lucky enough, we had original Gangstar, Cheryl Kindred, in the studio with us, and Ryan forced one of our poor interns to say some things on air, kind of against her will, so good thing we're giving her a good review, hopefully.
We
made our call goal and our financial goal, which we have different goals every single fund drive,
yeah.
And we have the following folks to thank for that. So starting off, Mr. Peter Acker, Jason Beck, Phyllis Bozeman, and David Brain. What have you got over there, Ryan?
We have Sierra Coleman, Lara Costa, Maggie Davenport, Kat and Wayne Gentler, Laura and Michael Gilkey,
and Dana Gilkey, Walker Kara, Dr. Lori Nikolic, the New Dad's Place, the Stan Shack family.
That's right.
And
Dr. Michael Swore. Which, really kind of sent me into a tizzy when I saw that he had given to our show, because y'all might remember him from our Tears and Repairs episode.
That was the best show title in the whole world, yeah. Tears and Repairs.
That was in the fall, I'm guessing that was in the fall. It's hard for me to remember. But we had local OBGYNs, Doctors Swore and Cash, and the fact that, if we could check off a lot of previous guests on that list of contributors that we just read. So I think that really speaks to the quality of the programming that we're providing and the experience that our guests have when they either call in or come to the studio and do the show. They really understand the value of the work that we do at community radio.
Yeah, that's right. And then a few days after the membership drive was over, we were back here at the WSLR event space, which is just next door. Fogartyville Community Media and Arts Center is its technical name. You'll mostly hear us call it Fogartyville. what were we doing there? We were having the Sarasota chapter of the International Cesarean Awareness Network's Mom Prom. Maybe you're asking, what's a Mom Prom?
What is a Mom Prom?
Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a night for dancing, food, and friends. It's a night out just for ladies, which makes it a little bit special. And each chapter of ICANN adds its own little flair. So this year, our guests enjoyed a pizza party with their beer and wine, thanks to donations from various ICANN members. And then in addition to DJing a photo booth, guests had the opportunity to bid on over 30 items in our raffle, which included everything from a year of chiropractic care to jars of delicious locally canned pickles. At the end of the night,
one of those pickles, I did not get them.
Oh, it was Angela, the one that
she
gave a jar to my husband, Neil, and he was so grateful. So big ups, Angela. He appreciates that. So at the end of the night, this was our second year doing this, we crown our prom queen. And this year, our winner was none other than our very own Laura Gilkey, who wasn't even present in person, everybody. And Ryan was trying to take photos of me when she handed me the paper so she could get my ugly cry, because it was so unexpected and heartwarming that Laura won.
Yeah.
Laura got a lovely bouquet of Florida native flowers and a big old gift basket that was brimming with goodies that every mom requires, like wine and chocolate and tea and earplugs.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids are too loud and noisy all the time. So all in all, Mom Prom was a super incredible opportunity to not only reconnect with some local ICANN supporters, but also to introduce our organization to women in the Sarasota and Bradenton area. And I want to say thanks to the generosity of all of our Mom Promers. We raised about $2,000 and we gained 11 new members.
That's awesome.
So I think we currently have the most paid ICANN members ever that our chapter has had right now.
You raised $2,000 at Mom Prom for ICANN. That's impressive.
It was awesome. Thanks to everybody, and thanks to you sitting across the way. You really busted your hump with the baby the whole time.
Well,
you sold those raffle tickets like nobody's business.
You gotta do what you gotta do, and I got the best partner to do it. So, my other partner too, my husband, was pretty awesome too.
And thanks to Arlene.
You know, thanks to our former station manager and Peace Center runner and all of the other things that she does around here, Arlene tweeting for helping us out that night. There were definitely some mom nanigans. There were definitely some shenanigans that happened. So, you know, thanks for putting up with that, Arlene.
Yep, thanks, Arlene. We owe you one.
My favorite part of Mom Prom was the old school vinyl that was played by the DJ.
Oh, this is for Super Nintendo. Yes. You was for you.
Absolutely. I was, you know, feeling the middle school vibe.
Yeah.
Along with, you know, some seriously old school funk and some new Peaches.
Yeah.
Was a riot.
Yes, it was. And we're not talking about the dead president of the United States of America, no, my friend.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yay, can't wait for next year.
Yep. And, you know, anybody who's listening who's like, man, I want a mom prom in my community, well, call us up. Let us know. We can give you all the dates on how it was pulled off here. So, the newest UK royal, a girl born on Saturday, has been named. And this morning I spoke with midwife and honorary Maternally Yours across the pond correspondent Lizzie Norton about the royal baby. So, I'm going to play that right now.
We are talking to midwife Lizzie. We love talking to you, Lizzie, from across the pond. Can you please share with us the news from your country?
Okay, so we're all really excited because the lovely Kate Middleton and Prince William had their second baby, a little girl, on Saturday, 2nd of May, and they announced, I think it was yesterday, that her name was going to be Charlotte Elizabeth Diana.
I love that name. Is everybody just freaking out about this name?
I think everyone's, yeah. There was some speculation that maybe Diana might not be in there, but maybe it might be, and I think it's lovely that they put Diana in there. I think that's wonderful. And obviously I agree with Elizabeth, because that's a fab name. I think it's a lovely, lovely name, and everyone seems to be, liking it, I think, yeah.
I love it. So what was the feeling in the midwifery community leading up to the birth of this baby? Because on the outside, it seems like it's very medicalized and hospitalized. She goes into the hospital to have the baby. The parking lot in the hospital was blocked off for weeks. And it seems very medicalized from the outside, but she was attended by midwives.
I think it's got to be, obviously they need to have the security because of who they are, so I think that's why everything seems so kind of formal and regimented and things are cordoned off. And, you know, the first we knew really about when she was due is when they reported that street signs were going up around the hospital with like no parking things. That was our first indication really. But I think that actually midwives, it's been reported that there were two midwives who delivered her, and the medical team was on standby. And I guess that's the same for any other hospital environment in the UK. You know, where I work, we are we're midwife-led, and we have doctors if we need them. In fact, she went in at 6 in the morning, had a baby about 8:30, and was appearing at 6 o'clock in the evening, so that she went in, had a baby with midwives, and then went home again, which is fab.
So can we assume that she had an unmedicated birth, or is that just...
I think we probably can. Having read around a little bit over the last few days and different reports, which I know you have to take with a pinch of salt depending on where you're getting your information from, it does, and the fact that she did, which I think she did what any other second or third time mum would do. She had the majority of her labour at home. Apparently that's what she was advised to do. She felt she needed to go in because the time was near. She did. She had a baby. And, you know, I mean, there's... Even if she'd had an epidural, for example, in our hospital policy, she'd have to stay at least 12 hours. So she wouldn't have been appearing at 6 in the evening at the door. So I think she literally went in, had a baby, and left as women do.
That's it. That's what happens, right? Yeah. Babies come. So we have all seen that photo of just an absolutely stunning Kate in front of the hospital, you know, really only second to her sweet, sweet baby in that beautiful white. So can we credit that great, excellent care for her glow, or is that just how queen, you know, like future queens and royalty look? Is this how women in the UK look after giving birth in a hospital?
I don't think it's a standard look for when you're in hospital. I mean, where I work, I think if you manage to make it out to the car in your pajamas and, you know, whatever, and get in the car and zip off home. But I think there's added pressure for her, isn't there? Because she is in the public spotlight. And, you know, she looked so stunning last time around when she came out of the hospital.
No.
And I'm sure she wanted to look her best. Who doesn't? Especially when the world media is camped at your doorstep. But I think also she's a mum who has just met her baby and has just fallen in love with her baby and is having a massive rush of love and came out beaming from ear to ear. And you could tell she was just, from the look on her face, you can tell she's just incredibly proud of herself and incredibly pleased that she's got this wonderful family. And I think that's the same for every woman, I hope, you know. Even if the makeup hasn't been applied as precisely or the hair curled as precisely, I think most mums, if not all, come out with a certain glow about them. That's because they've just had a wonderful baby. And that's a wonderful experience.
I totally agree with you. So, Lizzie, I have to congratulate you on your recent engagement.
Thank you very much.
We follow you as much as you follow us over here. So, congratulations on that.
And, thank you very much. Thank you.
We'll be watching on Facebook. I'm sure you'll have beautiful photos of your nuptials.
I hope so.
And thanks so much for giving us an update on what's going on with the royal birth. And
you're very welcome.
We thank you for being our correspondent on the other side of the pond, as they say.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a habit, isn't it? But a habit that I like, so it's all good.
Thank you. We love it too.
All right, Lizzie. So fantastic. So speaking of midwives overseas, everybody, today is International Day of the Midwife, a day to recognize the important work of midwives across the globe. IDM, as it's sometimes called, has been observed since 1991 and is organized by the International Confederation of Midwives to raise awareness of the important job that midwives do and the care that they provide in your community.
In 2013, midwives and supporters organized several different events worldwide. In Croatia, events were held in public squares and parks to raise awareness and gather support. In Nepal, midwives organized an event with dignitaries from the Ministry of Health and Population. Papers were presented and open discussion took place with those taking part, and the government in relation... Wait, hold on. I just totally lost my train of thought there. Anyway, midwives in Indonesia arranged a march through the pedestrian area of Jakarta. Like nursing, pushing buttons,
Yeah, you're doing it all.
Yeah.
It's okay. The International Confederation of Midwives reminds us that this is the year the International Day of the Midwife is more important than ever before. As the United Nations Millennium Development Goals come to an end in September, this is the last chance to shine a spotlight on midwifery before the world enters into a new era. Holy moly. That's intense.
Intense. So I'm talking for information about International Day of the Midwife and to participate in a virtual conference, which has already happened, but you can go on and have links to all the things that already happened and view everything that already happened because this is International Day of the Midwife, so it already happened in most of the world. We're kind of catching up as the day goes on. You can go to internationalmidwives.org.
And one of our favorite international midwives, Robin Lim, who we featured during a revisited episode of Maternally Yours last month, is currently on her way from the Birthkeeper Summit in the U.S. to Nepal to assist with the tens and thousands of pregnant women who have been left homeless from last month's earthquake. She and the team from,
Bhumi Sihat.
Thank you. We'll be building birth tents, assessing prenatal care, and delivering babies in the disaster zone.
So there, we have about 5 minutes before we're going to go to our half break, and I want to play a video clip of, if I can get this computer working. I want to play a video clip of when Robin Lim won the CNN Hero of the Year Award in 2011, because the video that they put together for that really kind of, it just shows like exactly what she does and her work, and it's pretty amazing. So let's see if we can listen to that.
My philosophy is pretty simple. I do believe that we can build world peace one baby, one mother, one family at a time.
Welcome to Bali, right?
Yeah. We have a pretty high-risk population here. Women die from hemorrhage after childbirth quite commonly in this part of the world. The needs of mothers commonly come last. 21 years ago, I lost my sister and my niece to a complication of pregnancy. My life just took a turn. I had to ask myself, what's your life purpose? I found that my life purpose really is love. If I wasn't living for love every minute of every day, what was the point? And it led me to midwifery. If you have to pay for health care, inevitably, poorer people will suffer.
Perjanjiannya ya, kalau nggak punya uang ya, udah maunya apa ya? Oh, ya udah, kasih tinggal anaknya satu di sana. Karena nggak punya dana ya, ikhlasin aja, ikhlas.
The woman is telling Robin that she had to leave her baby at the hospital after it's born free.
Having just started one mother at a time, now we have this amazing project. So far, we've delivered over 4,000 babies. For the poor, we are the only place they can call on. In terms of emergency obstetric care, can you do pretty much everything here if it comes to that?
Necessary.
We have ultrasound. We do IV fluids, and then we transport to the hospital.
We are very fortunate to have a clinic like this here. We do the big work for the people of Indonesia here. It's amazing. Thank you.
You're amazing. We know we can't solve all the problems, but we can just take a baby step every day. Birth is such a heroic journey. At the end of that journey, when you're holding that baby, you know that you did it. You did it. There's just no other place on earth where almost every single child I see is someone who I greeted into this world. I look at each of those children and I know their mother's stories. It's pretty special.
I just said on Facebook earlier today that it's very hard for me to even think about the work that Robin does without, like, getting chills and getting all teary-eyed. So, like Dana said, Robin Lim and her team from Bumi Sihat are on their way to earthquake-ravaged Nepal right now. So if you would like to help Robin and her team, you can go to BumiSihatFoundation.org. That's BumiSihat Foundation.org. And we love you, Robin. You are listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. When we return from a short break, we're going to continue the conversation by reaching back into that grab bag for some more news you can use, including a call from Sachee Ferris, who is taking action for Black mothers in Baltimore and beyond this Mother's Day.
Programming on WSLR is made possible by support from our listeners, as well as Sarasota's midwives who welcome babies gently and build community locally with Kathy Matthews Home Birth, Birthplace Family Birth Center, and Rosemary Birthing Home.
So, people, you got about 30 minutes to get to the Holistic Moms of Sarasota at the Whole Foods Market Lifestyle Center as they welcome Dr. Lori Nikolic of Integrative Medical Consultants for a Q&A on holistic health care and wellness. Have you struggled with balancing alternative and conventional approaches to healthcare when it comes to yourself or your children? How can they complement each other? What can you do to communicate with your care provider so that your concerns are heard, your needs are met, and your wishes are respected? There will be lots of time for questions and answers, so come with a question or two in mind. So that's tonight in about 30 minutes at 7 p.m. at the Whole Foods Market Lifestyle Center, which is at the corner of First Street and Lemon.
The Sarasota Baby Wearing Group meets tomorrow, Wednesday, May 6th at 10 a.m. for Baby Wearing 101 at Rosemary Court. Bring your babies and your carriers, or borrow a baby and rent a carrier from the Lending Library.
You can do that. I mean, you can't take the baby home, but you can take the carrier home.
I love it. Group
support moms in our community this Mother's Day is Mary Ellen Mancini. She's Director of Development for Safe Place Rape Crisis Center in Sarasota. Mary Ellen, are you on the phone with us?
I am. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. So for our listeners who don't know, and boy, howdy, you should. Tell us, what is SPARC?
Well, SPARC is Safe Place and Rape Crisis Center, and we're a nonprofit agency that was formed in 1979, and the mission is to stop domestic and sexual violence in our communities. We're the only state-certified center for domestic violence and sexual assault services in all of Sarasota and DeSoto counties, and we serve clients through our outreach center in downtown Sarasota. We have an office in Venice, Northport, and Arcadia. We also have a shelter that operates 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, a 24-hour crisis hotline, and we will go to help victims at the local hospitals and courthouses. All of the services that SPARC provides are free and confidential. In addition to the hotline that I mentioned in the shelter, we also offer client safety planning, children's services, crisis intervention counseling, advocacy, case management, and there's also an economic empowerment program and professional training available for survivors who are trying to get out on their own. And we are also very actively involved in community education in order to help prevent this type of violence from happening in the future.
So tell us about the SPARC 2015 Mother's Day Initiative, because I saw an event on Facebook and I thought, oh, that, what a great idea to tie partner violence and Mother's Day.
Thank you. Well, SPARC designed the Mother's Day Initiative to kind of help provide a meaningful way to honor women and mothers, not only for this special day, but something that will carry on even, you know, further beyond that. By joining SPARC this Mother's Day, supporters are offered a unique way to kind of celebrate their mom or someone special, and while also continuing that cycle of giving to other mothers and survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault all throughout our communities here. The tax-deductible gift can be made in memory of a loved one if they're deceased or no longer with us, and or it can be made, you know, for someone who's very special in your life, and we provide a beautiful Mother's Day card that lets them know that a donation has been made in their honor. All of the contributions we get from this initiative are used immediately to provide emergency housing, help create safety plans, and just generally fund all the hard work that SPARC does to save lives. These gifts help, you know, the families and our community and keep them safe from harm, and ultimately, I think, provide hope for the future. And doing all that while also speaking just, I think, to the compassionate nature of mothers in general. And we decided that we thought that was a wonderful way to, you know, share an act of kindness as a perfect Mother's Day present.
That's so nice. We love that. But, you know, we just did a little segment on Robin Lim, and she says that, you know, peace on earth really begins at birth, and a peaceful future is grown in the laps of mothers, and it's just so true as we're going into Mother's Day this weekend to keep those kind of things in mind. So I'm going to post the event on our social media. How can our listeners at home learn about the event and learn about SPARC?
Well, everyone is invited to donate online at spark.net, and that's S-P-A-R-C-C. And just be sure to indicate that it's for Mother's Day. And also, you know, because the date is fast approaching, Mother's Day is this Sunday, you can also feel free to drop by our office, our outreach center on Main Street, and that's at 2139 Main Street in Sarasota, or call our office at 941-365-0208, and we can hand deliver the card to you, and that way you'll have it for Mother's Day in order to give to your special someone.
That's so nice.
In closing, if it's okay with you all, I'd also just kind of like to give a 24-hour crisis hotline.
I wrote that down on my paper. I would like for you to tell our listeners what your crisis hotline is, please.
Yeah, and if there's anyone listening who just, you know, may need to make a call, again, everything is completely 100% confidential. And the number that you would call is 941.
so much, Mary Ellen. I really appreciate it. I hope that we were gentle with you. So much for the work you do, Mary Ellen.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so you can think globally and act locally with the Healthy Start Coalition of Sarasota at their very own Mother's Day celebration with a captivating luncheon featuring keynote speaker Dr. Washington Hill, obstetrician and maternal fetal medicine specialist. This event takes place at 11:30 a.m. on Friday, May the 15th at the Van Wezel Grand Foyer. For tickets, visit healthystartsarasota.org/givingluncheon.
I hear there's a never-ending Bloody Mary bar happening there, or mimosas or something. Day drinking.
Whoa!
I'm just saying. I'm not endorsing this at all, but I'm just saying that I heard. So the Healthy Start Coalition of Sarasota County is also partnering with the Kiwanis Club of Sarasota to present the 21st annual, can you believe it, 21st annual Community Baby Shower. The Community Baby Shower is held annually to provide education, information, and gifts to pregnant women and families in our community. It is fun and extremely affordable, meaning it's F-R-E-E. It will be held at the Boys and Girls Club of Sarasota, 3100 Fickle Road in Sarasota, Florida. That's SCAT Bus Route Number 1 on Saturday, May 16th from 10 a.m. to noon. Dana and I will both be there.
Yeah!
Pregnant women and new families up to 1 year old are invited to attend. They've just got a ton of stuff. I mean, they're given, like, car seats and, you know, strollers away. It's going to be...
It's just
going to be amazing. It's always a really fun event. So, again, the Community Baby Shower happens at the Boys and Girls Club of Sarasota, 3100 Fruitville Road. That's SCAP Bus Route 1 on Saturday, May 16th from 10 a.m. to noon.
So, birth announcements, milestones.
Birth announcements.
Dusty Emerson.
All milestones.
Dusty Emerson Power and Baby Sullivan are celebrating 6 months of nursing.
And DA Sabrina Hall is proud of her little guy who self-weaned at 15 months.
Wow. And 3 months of nursing for
me and Arbor.
Yay!
Arbor's 3 months old on Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, the 7th.
Holy cow.
I know. So would you like us to announce the birth of a baby, a nursing milestone, or a free family-friendly event? You can post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/maternallyyours, or email us at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com. For a complete listing of Sarasota's family-friendly events, be sure to pick up your copy of Mommy Magazine, found on news racks throughout the community. A new one just came out recently. It's got all those summer activities in it. So,
get ready to go to the movies for $1. It's not hot. You're listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. You can find this and all of our recent podcasts on our website, www.maternallyyoursradio.com, where you'll also find an epilogue including any resources and links we mentioned in tonight's show. So let's reach back into that grab bag and continue the conversation. What's up next, Ms. Ryan?
Well, we sort of talked about it during the break. For those of you who are listening in on our other stations, you didn't hear us talking during the break, but we're moving into the second half of our show and talking about Mother's Day because it's Sunday. It's Mother's Day. And what's a typical Mother's Day look like for you, Dana?
Like every other day, only maybe I wear a fancier outfit.
You just did that side face emoticon, like emoji, the side face.
Yeah,
that's pretty much in my house, too.
I'm like, I'll just wear a fancy dress.
Right.
And now I'm going to wash the laundry, just like I do every day. Yeah.
Well, you know, there are some things that we can do that are simple and easy. Even busy moms can do them. And joining us by phone to talk about a way to bring social justice action into our Mother's Day celebration is Sachi Ferris, a blogger at raceconscious.org, which is a resource for parents to talk about race with young children. Are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and is it Sachi?
Sachi.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us on such short notice, too, Sachi. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So you've partnered with Showing Up for Racial Justice to create a Mother's Day Action Toolkit that includes suggestions and talking points we can ask our children as we take action for racial justice coming up on Mother's Day. Why was this toolkit created, and why Mother's Day as a day for action?
Well, I think as we've seen over the last 9 months, some of the most challenging conversations for parents to have with children are about race. And both Showing Up for Racial Justice and Raising Race Conscious Children want to create tools for parents to talk about race with their young children and also create action with our young children. And Mother's Day is just a very wonderful day and opportunity for mothers who are interested in social justice issues to engage in that with their children and have that be part of their lives.
And I think it's a great tradition to start. So what are some of the actions that families can take to show solidarity with Black mothers in Baltimore and beyond? There's been no shortage of news in the last several months and years.
Well, just to backtrack, I think what the toolkit itself offers, as you mentioned, are really concrete prompts for parents to take action by reading with their children. And, you know, as a first step, reading and educating yourself and your children is taking action. I think also for parents who might not have really named race and talked about race with their young children, that starting with the safety of a children's book is really a wonderful place to start. So when we're talking about what's going on in Baltimore right here, right now, that with a very young child isn't necessarily where a parent's going to start the first conversation. They have never talked about race before, but opening up a children's book with diverse characters and talking transparently and explicitly about skin color and race and naming that is where they can start. And I think the idea is if you can't talk about race, you can't change anything around racial injustice in this country. So the idea is to start there and then really move this conversation, even with a very young person, to be about how to be an activist and how they can create true change in the world. To answer your larger question, Showing Up for Racial Justice is really trying to build a movement and working in an ongoing way. And there are other projects. If you visit showingupforracialjustice.org, that they are working on in terms of door knocking in communities with Black Lives Matter signs, really just to build the support of white people who want to take action. So yeah, that's there for a second.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really enjoyed that the toolkit that you've created isn't, there are many different options for many different families and many different comfort levels and time commitments. And so, you know, it's something as simple as just reading a book with your child and making that a tradition every year to, you know, the more involved actions that people can take. So, go ahead, Dan.
Well, how can people learn more about the toolkit and Showing Up for Racial Justice? And you also have a blog, Raising Race Conscious Children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say, obviously, Mother's Day is a wonderful day to start and honor the idea of talking about race and taking action for racial justice and including your children in this process. But of course, it's an everyday process. So the blog is really about that. It's about many different voices, my own as well as many guest bloggers, which are actively looking for if there are mothers out there who have stories about talking about race with their children. But that site is, as you mentioned, raceconscious.org, so that's one resource.
awesome.
But I would say those are the main resources, both of the web pages and the Facebook page.
Great. Well, and, you know, the idea of having a show about how to talk to your kids about race has been something that we have talked about and bounced the idea around a number of times. So I'm very happy that we have made the connection with you, because hopefully we can have you back to do a whole hour on really how to do this, starting from little tiny children to, you know, through to teenagers. So thanks so much for calling.
Absolutely. I'd love to be back.
I really appreciate it. Take care.
So what about other ways you could act on Mother's Day, Ryan?
Well,
I'm sure you have a list, Queen of Lists.
I have a list. So some of you may know PAI. They're a global reproductive health nonprofit.
And something that I posted earlier. On
right.
Really yours.
We posted one of their infographics that they emailed out yesterday, and I actually have it right here. So I'm going to hand it to you, Dana. So, you know, speaking of Mother's Day, it just doesn't make sense for Mother's Day to sort of, you know, align with, you know, social justice action surrounding race and the reproductive right of safety for your children, no matter their skin color. It also pairs really well with the reproductive right of, you know, like having basic maternal health care, no matter where you've been born or what color your skin is. So PAI sent this email out yesterday just reminding us Mother's Day is coming up, and their email says that the number of women dying for reasons related to pregnancy and childbirth in the developing world is 200 times higher than in developed countries. The good news is a staggering 80% of those deaths could be prevented if women had access to adequate health services. So this infographic, do you want to kind of describe it, Dana?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's a big old globe on it that says, hey, the number of women dying for reasons related to pregnancy and childbirth. Yes, the statistics that you just said. There's an ambulance saying that many countries have forced on getting doctors to administer life-saving drugs to women, but there's just one problem. There aren't enough doctors to reach all the moms who need them.
Right. So what are we going to do when we... You know, we have all these moms who need medicines, but only doctors can prescribe them. Enter.
PAI is working with partners in three countries, in Mali, Togo, and Zambia, to help make this shift happen. Because allowing more healthcare workers to administer these drugs doesn't reduce the quality of the service, but it does save lives.
Right. So midwives and other healthcare workers should be able to administer these medications.
Right.
There should be no reason not to, because when they are properly trained and able to administer those medications, they don't need doctors.
Right.
And, you know, they can, it's a simple, again, it's this, you know, these simple economic equations
that can make such a big difference.
Right.
So you can join this initiative that's going on right now. It's a hashtag, everybody, hashtag Moms Matter. And you can cruise over to PAI.org to learn more about this initiative.
Yeah. And another nonprofit that we really like, we've had Laura interviewed Christy Turlington Burns for this show, and this nonprofit also supports Robin Lim and Jenny Joseph, who we love, midway from Florida, with the Childbirth Connection, I think, and the JJ Way. So this nonprofit is Every Mother Counts. They're showing the world what is possible in maternal health with a film and a hashtag campaign. These are very popular. Hashtag campaign, What is Possible? They say nearly 300,000 women and girls continue to die every year bringing life into the world, even when we know how to save them. So as we look at the future of mental health, of maternal health, we'll get to mental health later, we ask ourselves, what is possible? With the right care at the right time, it is possible that every mother could survive pregnancy and childbirth. So a similar message to, you know, the PAI message that, you know, we just need these small little tweaks to make huge, huge differences. so you can learn about their hashtag What is Possible at everymothercounts.org. And we're going to have Dr. Hill on next week, and maybe someone from PAI too, to talk about, you know, these global health initiatives and how, and also the weird thing about how maternal health in the United States is not that great, even with all of this technology, as we read during our birth and news segment. So, you know, how we compare those two and what little tweaks we could potentially make. What's up, Barbara?
He wants to tell you guys something. Oh, and now he's quiet. Just kidding, everybody. You have to wait a little bit longer for Arbor's first.
So there's something else that we can start doing this Mother's Day if we want to start preparing. Dana, you want to tell everybody about a special week that's coming up?
That's right. You can start planning now for the 5th annual Empowered Birth Awareness Week. The purpose of Empowered Birth Awareness Week, which also has a hashtag EBAW Birth, is to grow the paradigm of empowered birth every year by flooding the public with their vision, definitions, ideas, images, and stories, and more about empowered birth choices. This year, you're encouraged to make Empowered Birth Awareness Week your own by simply sharing what inspires you, talking about what an empowered birth means to you, or linking to the Empowered Birth Awareness Week Facebook page and event. So if you want to take it a step further, here are some ideas from the website. Lots of simple things that you can do.
Lots of simple things. And we're going to have, hopefully, either during that week or before that week, I hooked up with Barbara, who is spearheading this event, and she's going to join us by phone to give us even more details. But the website suggests wearing turquoise during the week and posting photos on social media and just saying, I'm doing this because I support empowered birth choices.
Right. You can have a yard sale or a lemonade stand and consider having a fundraiser for your favorite organization. Even if all you make is $20, guess what? You're creating an opportunity to talk about empowered birth choices.
Yeah. And write a blog. You know, write a little use the notes feature
on Facebook.
You know, to share your story. What would you have done differently in your birth? What would you have, you know, what would have made you feel even more empowered? What did you love about your birth?
Right.
And, just to let people know, you know, these are, birth sometimes is behind the curtain, so we want to bring it out there.
Man, how about writing a letter and send it that week to the hospital or caregivers that were involved in your birth about your experiences during birth? You can copy the hospital administrator or a local newspaper editor.
Yep, I'm going to skip through some of these. One of the biggest ones is get your local, you know, your local moms groups involved. Get your Malachi League involved. Share the event on Facebook so that people know that this is happening. That's how we spread, you know,
awareness. That's right. So last, out of the grab bag, but certainly not least, May, it is Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month, and May 7th, coming up here, is International Maternal Mental Health Awareness Day. If we've said it once, we've said it a million times, childbirth can be one of the happiest times of a woman's life, but also the most challenging. And unfortunately for a lot of women out there, the transition to motherhood can bring sadness, depression, and anxiety, and difficulty sleeping. A new mother should not suffer in silence.
No, they should not. This year's maternal mental health awareness theme is You Are Not Alone. Pregnancy and postpartum mood disorders impact 1 in 7 families. I personally think it's probably higher than that.
Yes, I say 1 in 4.
But with prompt treatment and support, most families can make a complete recovery within the first year.
So if you would like to learn more about maternal mental health or are having trouble adjusting to motherhood yourself, whether after 1 child or 5 children, you can check out the National Coalition for Maternal Mental Health, organizers of this May's campaign. Let me see their website, MMHCoalition.com, everybody reading, it happens.
You can also go to Postpartum Progress. I love love that website. That's postpartumprogress.com.
Always fantastic support. Postpartum Support International, which is postpartum.net.
Locally, we love the Postpartum Society of Florida, which is postpartumflorida.org.
And Oregon listeners, there's the Baby Blues Connection, babybluesconnection.org.
Ohio listeners, there's Poem for Moms, which is poem, P-O-E-M, online.org.
And if you're in Vermont right now, there's the Visiting Nurses Association, which is www.vnacares.org.
Bernie Sanders. Anyway, moving on. In New York, you can go to the Ithaca Birth Guide, which is ithacabirthguide.com.
And in Tennessee, you have the Postpartum Support International chapter there, so you can email. Let's see.
That's
RamirezMarcy@yahoo.com. RamirezMarcy. Marcy is MARCIE, and that's at yahoo.com.
And we're going to post all of this stuff
on the Apple blog. Make it easy for you. You can just click.
So you have it. And if you're listening in these other communities and there are resources that we are not talking about, please let us know.
Yes.
Tell us what they are. Call us and tell us about all of, you know, send us an email. Get on Facebook. Let us know about all of the awesome resources that you have in your community so that we can share them with other people in your community.
Absolutely. Oh, Arbor knows. He's getting grumpy because he knows. That's it. That's all that we have in tonight's Grab Bag episode of Maternally Yours. We want to thank everyone who makes the conversation possible, especially our listeners and tonight's contributors, Lizzie Norton, Across the Pond correspondent, Mary Ellen. That just makes me laugh every time. Mary Ellen Mancini from Spark, and Sashi Ferris from RaiseConscious.org.
You can join the conversation next Tuesday, May 12th at 6 p.m. as Dana and I discuss maternal health both locally and globally with one of our all-time favorite guests and maternal fetal medicine expert, Dr. Washington Hill. We're also going to welcome Sierra Coleman and Sean Ewens back in the studio from the Healthy Start Coalition of Sarasota County to talk about an event they have that we PSA'd.
Yeah.
So if you have a question for our hosts or guests, you can email us at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com or post it to facebook.com/maternallyyours.
And don't forget that you can listen back to the show at archive.wslr.org. At your convenience, playing us out tonight is Stand By Me by Mr. Ben E. King, who died last week at the age of 76.
Looks like Rich is in the wings with aerial boundaries.
Well, peace out.
Listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. Produced at WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota's community radio station.
Our volunteer hosts, writers, and producers are Ryan Stanley, Laura Gilkey, and Dana King. You can find our most recent podcast at maternallyyoursradio.com, where you can also contact us with your comments, questions, and stories.
Until next week, we leave you with the words of Dr. Maya Angelou. When you know better, you do better. Thanks for joining the conversation.